Danke schön. Welcome back. So we'll do a brief review of what we discussed last class. We did like 27 and 28, right? Two verses. So Krishna here is talking about thinking of an attached person. Like what makes him, do his activities in sense gratification. Now what is his mentality, right? That's 27. So why the, what does he think actually in say about himself?
He thinks that
he's the doer of everything. Mm. He's the only doer. He's the cause of, Rajesh Prabhu, which is a verse where Krishna says, you should not think yourself as the cause of results of your actions. Translation? 2.4.
It's 2.4.
Yeah, 4.7.
Basically, the Karmanyavadi Karasthi Mahapalashu Kadachana is a well-known verse, which is you only are the right to perform your duty, but not to the results of it. The second part is the interesting one. So, Ma Karma Pada Hetadu, Mate Sangus, Karmanya, which is basically never consider yourself the cause of the actions. So, that was the second part of it.
Yeah, and also do not be attached to not doing your duty. That's also another important clause. So, similarly, so Krishna is saying here very clearly, never consider yourself cause of the results of your activities. But whereas this ignorant person, person is very attached, out of false ego, he thinks himself the cause of his activities, of the results. So exactly opposite to what, Krishna says. But who is the doer then, according to this verse?
The three elements.
Three modes of material nature are the doer. So actually we should have discussed them. Maybe we'll discuss it now. And what are other four doers? We discussed that.
Body. Things that are involved to do in
Activity. Factors of action.
Senses.
Body, senses, mind.
Endeavors.
Endeavor.
And super source.
Super source. Yes. Five of them. So what actually... In this, maybe briefly we'll discuss this mechanism just to understand very clearly why actions are carried out by three modes of material nature, right? So what the whole sequence of how things get done. So what is the part of the soul and what is the part of super soul and what is the part of all the other things involved, right? If you understand it, let me recollect from what I heard. So initially it starts with soul expressing its desire. So soul is entitled only for the desire. So it has one desire, like, okay, I'll drink coffee, or maybe, I want to go to a movie. That's just a desire. Expression of the desire. With that desire, based on our karma and based on destiny. So karma is, karma is whatever we are entitled to, and, based on that, super soul grants it or doesn't grant it.
Is it soul that would say, I want to drink coffee or I want to go to soul?
Yeah. Soul, because of its contamination with the material nature, not in the pure state. Because of identification with the material nature, now soul wants to enjoy through, this way, in a perverted way. So that's why it has all these desires. So then the super soul sanctions it based on the karma and, all the other factors. So then, automatically, modes of material nature, they submit to the order of the super soul. And then things get done, and based on our endeavor, accordingly, things happen. Then super soul will give direction, okay, go here, go there. Then, we use our legs, hands, senses, make the endeavor. We go there, we get the result. But then what all the other things externally happening are the three modes of material nature, everything. Super soul is like overseer and permitter.
So what is control of super soul? Like
Yeah, yeah.
Directly,
yes.
Like, but I'm just asking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Every part of it is controlled by the modes of material nature to start with, and again under Krishna. Right? So, at the same time, so whatever we desire, Supersoul will permit. Actually, Supersoul is neutral. He doesn't think, this is good for him, this is bad for him, so let me not give. Supersoul is neutral, but Krishna is not neutral. Supersoul is expansion of Krishna, but as a, in the role of Supersoul is neutral. In the sense, he's just acting like, overseer and permitted based on karma and destiny. Okay, what is good, what is bad, like that. But Krishna is, he knows, he gives only what is best for us. The role of Krishna is Bhagavan. So that's why somebody may say, if I want to become atheist, if Krishna wants my welfare, why is he allowing me to become atheist? Because he is neutral. He wants to give whatever we desire, if it's according to our karma, if it fits in that thing. But at the same time, if I desire something which is beyond my karma, I'm not going to get it. Like suddenly one day I say, I want to become a billionaire. It's my desire. Will it happen? Yeah. So it's based on, again, no, it's not just my desire. It's based on karma, everything. It will happen. Right, so that is little bit okay. Clear that, the factors of how it works. Then... So that's why in Krishna consciousness, all we have to do is change our desires. Instead of desiring to enjoy, we desire to serve. Then also, actually, it's not that I am serving again. Then also, Supersoul has to permit certain facilities for service, and our hands and legs have to move, and then the service has to be accomplished. Right?
How do you say it's the word permission, Mataji? Because if our karma is what is dictating us, what is this role of Supersoul?
Supersoul is like, is the person in charge of letting it or not letting it happen. Karma is like it's one of his factors, weighing factors. He uses karma and he uses something else, to make the decision whether to allow or whether to not allow. Karma is a non-entity in the sense, it's not conscious. On its own, karma is not active to do anything.
No.
So, but in this verse, Krishna is telling it's all carried out by the three modes of material nature, instead of all the other four factors which we discussed in the 18th chapter. The three modes are prevalent. And then in this purport, Srila Prabhupada was talking about, the mentality of the attached person, right? We discussed all the points, and mainly, because of long misuse of senses, he forgets his eternal relationship with Krishna. And he is mainly, the difference between materialistic person and a devotee is, what's the difference?
Consciousness.
And also mainly is because of lack of knowledge. So materialistic person, lack of knowledge, he identifies with the body. Whereas Krishna conscious person, he knows his soul, or at least, he's aspiring the spiritual platform. So then that makes a difference of complete, their activities. Because this materialistic person now tries to do everything for his body. Whereas spiritual inclined person does everything for the soul. Then everything changes accordingly. Because of lack of knowledge. That's why Prabhupada says in the purport, the materialistic person has no knowledge that ultimately is under the control of Krishna. Okay, so any more points from 27? I am only speaking actually, you should be saying. Yeah, somebody is jumping in. It's upstairs, it's not there. Right? Oh, I think maybe some room dancing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, any more points from 27?
Materialist person, he has forgotten the relationship with Krishna.
Oh yeah,
the last line of the
purport. Last line of the, we forgot his eternal relationship with Krishna. Yeah, we all are like that. We forgot That's why we, you know, we have to hear about Krishna, so we remember again and again our relationship. Okay, so we can go to the 28th verse. Now Krishna is saying, you know, the difference between both of them. What does a person in knowledge do? The person in knowledge of the absolute truth does not engage himself in senses and sense gratification, because he knows the difference between work in devotion, work for fruitive results. He knows, you know, what's the consequence. If I work for, you know, my own sense gratification, like all of us, no, we are now being familiar. If I work for sense gratification, okay, I'm going to get reactions, I have to take birth again, you know, I have to face again, all this is, we are knowing, we know that. And we know, you know, if we work with devotion, work in devotion, it's akarma, I don't get reactions, I'm getting purified, eventually I'll get love of God. We know all of that. So then, you know, we try to work in that with that knowledge. But then how many, actually we should check ourselves, you know. We know this, but how many times we fall into this trap, right? Of engaging ourselves in senses and sense gratification.
Most of it.
Right? So it's, we have theoretical knowledge, no, but when it comes to application, we are so, you know, dominated by senses and desires to enjoy. So, no, but every time it's a test. Every time that whenever, you know, at least if you are aware that we fail, there is a chance that, you know, next time we can pick it up. If you don't even know, then, no, that's another, you know, it's this thing. But that's why I was thinking, you know, actually Krishna consciousness is so, in one way, very challenging. Because before coming to Krishna consciousness, we think that, you know, we are perfect. Or, you know, whatever... We don't see our faults at all, actually, right? We think, you know, I'm the most perfect, I'm the most, you know, best in everything. Mm-hmm. Because that's how the material nature covers us, you know, thinking that I'm the best. But then once we start coming to Krishna consciousness, because of chanting, we get purified. So Krishna from within reveals. First thing he reveals is our faults. Mm-hmm. No, that's why it takes so much of humility to first to accept ourselves. Forget about accepting others, you know, that's another challenging, you know, we don't want to accept others' faults, you know, oh, why this devotee has such and such problem, you know, like that. But it's more difficult to accept ourselves, you know, to accept that I'm not actually so perfect. So gradually we'll, you know, we'll be revealed, and then eventually we'll understand that, no, actually I'm not at all, no, I'm worthless. But somehow by mercy, I'm being given this opportunity for devotional service. So at least, you know, let me take it in earnest and do my, you know, my part. That's the reward we can give back. That's what our, you know, teachers are expecting from us when they give us the knowledge. That eventually, you know, we can use it properly to perfect ourselves. That's what, as we advance in Krishna consciousness, you know, the, you know, we will see that the measure is the humility. We can see the measurement of, you know, person's advancement. You know, they will become more and more humble instead of becoming more and more puffed up. And then in that humility, they will know how Krishna is more and more great. Because initially when we start with, we think, oh, I'm great, right? So we don't see Krishna. Forget about others, we don't see Krishna also. So once we start becoming more and more humble, then we see how great Krishna is. Because then, you know, we are not the focus of our existence. Okay, so any more points from 28? So 28 purport, Prabhupada is talking about how a devotee, you know, thinks about things, right? How is consciousness, what does he think about Supreme, what does he think about his relationship? Exactly contrast to that purport, other purport, right? So some of the points here. Any points you underlined in the purport at least, which you can read? I know we just read the purports, we didn't discuss deeply. Yeah, first line, Prabhu.
The knower of the absolute truth is convinced of his upward position in material association.
Means, what does it mean?
He knows he's the spirit soul, but he's trapped in this body. And now he's like, he knows this, but he can't go there either. No, what do I do? So he's in that awkward question.
Yeah, very nice. Yeah. Mm. Any more, any things with striking points?
So activities, he tries to do all his activities and tries to do it for Krishna instead of for himself.
Mm.
Like that the word they used was dovetailing.
Mm. Dovetailing, yeah. Very nice. Yeah. Okay. So we'll continue with the text number 29. Actually, 29. So what does 29 cover is actually, so we are spirit soul. We are not this matter. Then why do we get attached to matter, or why do we get attached to senses and sense gratification? That's a question somebody may ask. We are pure spirit soul. Nothing to do with matter. Then why, how come this soul is now starting to identify with matter and associating with matter?
Because
that's the question.
Because we are forgetting we are spirit soul. We are considering we are body. So
exactly.
All senses are
yes.
Acting.
So that's the answer given in 29. So this is just like, you know, connection between the verses. It's very important to note that. Please stop. Bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. But the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. So what's the cause of him being attached to this, you know, activities? Why it happens?
Bewildered
by the modes of material nature. So he's completely, his spirit soul is very tiny, right? And the modes of material nature are very powerful. So he comes under the influence of the material nature and gets confused, he or she. And then he starts identifying with matter. Then he starts enjoying with matter and material nature. So we...
But the soul is neither he nor she.
Actually, in real sense, all souls are she. Except Krishna.
Yeah, that's true.
These are material designations you are saying. Okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
There is two words. In the previous word, there was Tattva with. He knows his own actual position in relation to Supreme.
Mm.
In this one, there is Krishna with. One who is of factual knowledge.
Vith in the word to word. In the Sanskrit became vin. Yeah. Because na is coming afterwards, it became Krishnavin. This, I think we discussed this point earlier, so I'm checking who will answer this. So material nature, matter, which is superior? Spirit
soul
or matter?
Is superior.
Soul is superior.
Right. But the size of the material nature is why we are, and it's repeatedly, and we are inside that. So that's why the soul gets defeated by the less powerful material.
Okay. It's not less powerful, it's inferior but more powerful. Everybody got it?
Mm.
Matter is superior in the sense of, you know, matter is inferior to spirit. So then how come this soul is coming under the influence of material nature? Then the answer is because material nature is Krishna's own expansion and energy is insurmountable by the tiny spirit soul. Unless, what's the solution? Unless the soul surrenders to Krishna, which is when Krishna orders his material energy to not disturb the soul. Which verse is that?
What is it?
We discussed it 7th. Devi Esha Gunamai, 7th chapter. 7:14 దైవేశ గుణమై మమ మాయా దురత్యయ మామేవయే ప్రపద్యంతే మాయామేతాం తరంతితే. సో దిస్ డివైన్ ఎనర్జీ ఆఫ్ మైండ్ కన్సిస్టింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద 3 మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్ ఇస్ డిఫికల్ట్ టు ఓవర్కమ్, బట్ దోస్ హు హావ్ సరెండర్డ్ అన్ టు మీ కెన్ ఈజీలీ క్రాస్ బియాండ్ ఇట్. ఓకే, so that's how this spirit soul is now being bewildered by these modes of material nature and he becomes attached to body and sense gratification. Then next phrase, what is Krishna giving an instruction to us? Next phrase in 3.29, what's the instruction?
The wise
unsettle them. So this is similar to verse 26 we discussed, where Krishna says, you know, you should not disturb the ignorant, right? So 26, if you read translation, so as to not disturb the minds of ignorant men, attach the fruitive results. A learned person should not induce them to stop work. So similarly, same thing. So the wise person should not unsettle them, because they are already bewildered, they are confused, they don't know what they are doing, they are very attached. So if you start disturbing them unnecessarily, you know, you will get affected. So, you know, don't disturb them. You silently continue your activities of Krishna consciousness. That is Krishna's instruction. So that's what we should do, right? If we are given Krishna consciousness, we should just keep it with ourselves, you know, practice, and, you know, don't disturb the, you know, ignorant, right?
How will I be here, Mother?
So then what is missing? Krishna is saying not disturb.
Not disturbing them, but gradually introducing Krishna consciousness.
Okay.
Engaging the service.
Yeah, in the earlier verse Krishna says engage them in positive acts of Krishna consciousness. Yeah, that's what we are doing. Are we disobeying Krishna's order?
We are,
right? So it's okay?
For the to please the devotee or Krishna, he said, right, we know Krishna, what Krishna likes, like he wants all of us to go back to him. So, to please that, we are doing this.
Okay. So, the ultimate motive is not to disobey Krishna's order, but to serve Krishna's purpose. We know Krishna's purpose. Krishna's purpose is for all of us to go back to Godhead. So, the devotee is willing to take risk of his own life, of disobeying Krishna's instruction, and trying to serve Krishna's purpose. This is similar to what example?
But here they are not disturbing anyone, right, actually. They are just making them taste the...
But in doing that, so favorable people, it's okay, because you'll get positive result. But you'll meet all kinds of people. In that case, some people will throw stones and so many things, right? Envious people, they become more envious.
You try getting into arguments with atheists, Prabhu, then you know the fun.
Yeah. So, what was I saying? What is the similar example? We discussed that about, you know, how, you know, devotee takes his own risk and wants to serve Krishna's purpose. Headache? Krishna's headache?
Oh, Krishna's headache. Okay. Got it. Gopis give the...
So Krishna has a headache, who wants to narrate?
No, go for it. I don't know probably, but yeah, Krishna once says he has a headache and he says he needs the dust from the feet of his devotees, or anyone give the dust, it will heal them, he cures his headache. So then I don't know whether who it is, but they go to the
Narada Muni.
He goes to a devotee and asks them, you know, how can I give my dust to Krishna?
Actually, he asks the queens of Dwaraka, okay. Like Rukmini and... Yeah, please. No, I'll fill in.
Yeah. And then they say, no, how can we give? It's sin, we can't do that. So then Narada Maharaj goes to Gopis. They'll say, we'll happily give our dust to Krishna. If it cures him, it doesn't matter what happens to us, because we are giving our dust to his lotus feet, like...
So it's okay if you go to hell, but if it cures Krishna's headache, it's
That's
fine. So similarly here, you know, the same mood. Devotee is okay, you know, In a way, because Krishna can say, you know, I didn't give this instruction. If something happens to you, I'm not responsible. Right? Krishna can say that. So devotee is, you know, under the cover taking the risk. Right? Knowing Krishna's purpose, it's okay, whatever happens to me. No, I want to serve Krishna's purpose. Because, you know, that's what pleases him most. And actually, Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, you know, a person who preaches this message to devotees is most dear to me. It's in 18th chapter. Written on the verse. 68 and 69. So 68 translation. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, your devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. So this supreme secret is about Bhagavad Gita. So one who teaches Bhagavad Gita becomes very dear to Krishna.
What
else?
69.
Devotees.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 69. So Krishna never contradicts himself. See. 69. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. He is the person who, you know, preaches this message.
Oh, the, sorry, it's a follow. It's a spirit to the. Then you'll be very dear to what you're teaching us.
Yeah, hopefully. If I'm teaching right. Everyone, this is Krishna's words. So, yeah, whoever teaches this message to. So, actually, you know, I asked this question to my teacher, you know. So whoever teaches this message to the devotees, but then we preach to non-devotees also, then that means, you know, we will not eventually become dear to Krishna, right? Then we are violating this instruction. So the point is, we first make them devotees and then teach Bhagavad Gita. Or rather, you know, in the process of teaching Bhagavad Gita, we make them devotees, so we don't violate this instruction. So
this instruction alone doesn't exclude the other part. It just says for those to explain
the secret
to the devotees.
Huh.
But
that
doesn't say anything about non-devotees.
Yeah. Yeah, because Krishna never, Krishna didn't violate himself. He already said, right, don't disturb them. Okay. Krishna told, don't disturb them.
But he doesn't say if you disturb them, then you're
going to
go to hell or something.
No, not hell. He didn't say don't go to hell, he'll go to hell, but he didn't say, you know, I don't, you know what to say. He didn't,
okay,
he didn't provide any claims.
Krishna is saying don't do this. Afterwards, he doesn't say what will happen or what will happen. He's saying
yeah,
don't do that.
Yeah.
And afterwards, it's your risk.
He says, clearly he says don't do it, right? Yeah. Okay, so we'll read the purport.
Bhagavan, one question. As you said, don't disturb them. If you meet some non-devotees, then what you should say? Say nothing? Let it go? Or means we are not even that stage, we can take, but then what we should, what we can communicate? I don't know whether I explained my question.
Yeah. So you're trying to follow this instruction very clearly, very sincerely.
What is the real path? What we should communicate?
So what our mood is? Our mood is the mood of Srila Prabhupada. Like, you know, whatever we receive, we try to share. So in sharing, we try to understand their position, their mentality and their consciousness and our relationship with them. Based on that, we share. So if I know, you know, I have been having fights with this person all the way, and this is an eternal reason I can pick up a fight, no, then it's not going to work. But if I, my relationship with this person is very good, but you know, but we talk always in terms of, you know, certain business or something, then in that business somehow bring about Krishna. Something, you know, Krishna will give intelligence, but our mood should be that, you know, I want to help this person or I want to serve this person, rather than, you know, I want to, mostly as I said, no, I want to show off. Or rather, you know, I know Krishna, I want to show him that I am better than him. It's usually that's the mood. But our mood should be, I want to somehow connect this person to Krishna. Then if we start with that mood, then Krishna will give us intelligence how to do it.
But you suggested only with the person we have friendly terms with.
Hmm.
You gave a previous example if you had a contention or some fight before, then you would not try to do.
You would try to do if you know that that will bring it him closer to Krishna.
you will still try with that person.
You can try, yeah. It depends, like, you know, main purpose is to bring them closer to Krishna. So whatever, sometimes not doing it may bring them closer to Krishna. So that's the choice we have to make. Right?
Probably in an amicable way we can.
We can, but sometimes not talking about Krishna will help them better sometimes. Because by bringing about Krishna, they talk more abuse. You know, they offend Krishna more and they go far away from Krishna. So sometimes it's better for some with some people not to bring about Krishna at all. But, you know, silently do our own practices of prasadam and chanting and things like that. Okay, who did the purport? We are in 29.
Persons who are unknowledgeable falsely identify with gross material consciousness and are full of material designations. This body is a gift of the material nature, and one who is too much attached to the bodily consciousness is called Manda, or a lazy person without understanding of spirit soul. Ignorant men think of the body as a self. They accept bodily connections with others as kinmanship. The land in which the body is obtained in is their object of worship, and they consider the formalities of the religious rituals to be ends in themselves. Social work, nationalism, and altruism are some of the activities for such materially designated persons. Under the spell of such designations, they are always busy in the material field. For them, spiritual realization is a myth, and so they are not interested. Those who are enlightened in spiritual life, however, should not try to agitate such materially engrossed persons. Better to persecute one's own spiritual activities silently. Such bewildered persons may be engaged in such primary moral principle of life as non-violence and similar materially benevolent work.
We can pause this, yeah. So here Prabhupada is explaining, you know, their mentality. But there, we should not say there, it's our actually. We are also, you know, so materialistic. You know, our mentality of falsely identifying with the body and the connections thereof. The body means then, you know, wife, children, you know, country, nation. And we serve the whole life in all these purposes. And we become lazy about spiritual life. So that's all, that's the pitfall, especially in Kali Yuga. We are all victim to this, being lazy about spiritual life. So there is one nice story I heard in this regard. So once a king, he wanted to reward the most laziest person in his state. So he put out a note like, you know, whoever is the most lazy, please apply for this position. You know, I'll give a reward. Then many people applied and all of them were invited for some party, and all of them in a tent, they served them feast. And they were, everybody was watching, one each person is eating as lazily as possible when compared to the other person. then it's still not able to decide who is the most lazy. So then finally king said, okay, let's put a fire from one side. So they put a fire from one side, and almost 98% of them ran away. They became suddenly active and they ran away. Their laziness went. The two people were there, just there. Okay, then they thought, okay, boil down to two now. So then the fire was approaching, two of them were lazy lying down and not even wanting to get up. Then suddenly he noticed that one person, he turned the other side. No, fire was coming from one side, like his back, then he turns the other side. Then the other person asked, why are you turning? He said, no, my back is getting very hot, so I'm turning this side, so my friend will get some heat instead of my back. So then king understood, okay, he is the most lazy person. You know, he didn't want to get up, but he's just changing sides to deal with the situation. So then actually the Prabhu who was giving this lecture gave a very nice conclusion to this. He was saying, that's how we are. Like, in material life, we face so much fire. But we try to solve this or that and, try to change the positions, instead of this hand, instead of that hand, instead of this problem, that problem. But we never try to overall solve the whole problem by, taking spiritual life seriously. Right? We think, okay, let me solve this problem. Let me solve this problem. We just try to put off small, small fires. But what is the big fire which is, taking us, life after life, coming back? Yeah. That one we are not able to solve. Forest fire of material existence. That's what the verse in Samsara Dava, they say, whoever attends my morning program, samsaradava naval nalalida loka. Yeah, so samsaradava means it's dhavanala, it's a forest fire of material existence. The spiritual master is showering the rain of mercy to help us get out of this forest fire of material existence. So let me offer my respectful obeisances to my spiritual master. So this forest fire, we cannot get out ourselves. That's why we need the mercy of spiritual master.
Really, what does it mean, such bewildered persons may be engaged in such primary moral principles of life as non-violence and similar materially benevolent work?
Yeah, so he's saying, you know, they may not be inclined to direct Krishna consciousness. So we can gradually, you know, make them do something which is beneficial to the society, kind of like that. Some non-violent acts, or, you know, something like, for example, you can make them build a hospital if somebody is very rich. So by slowly, little by little, doing something which is selfless, they get purified and eventually they will be qualified to accept Krishna consciousness. So he's saying, you know, they are so materially engrossed, they become actually more envious. We must have experience, right? Somebody wants to share some experiences, you know, sharing with your relatives, how they reacted, or, you know, some things. They would react like this, right? Completely no to spirituality. And, you know, and very, very busy in material. If you say, let's go for a movie, everybody's ready. If you say, let's go to temple, nobody wants to come. Right? Spiritually lazy. So anybody wants to share some experiences with your family members, you know, sharing things?
My friends, most of them, at least I have a lot of friends, but two of them are complete atheists. One is like, he doesn't believe in God at all. The other is like, he'll be like, no to this God, no to that God, he's slowly going there. So I try to talk to them, and, you know, sometimes we get into very interesting arguments, and they are always like this. In the end, it comes down to one thing: show me God and I will believe you. I'm like, you know, it's not going to be that easy. It's like, if you do like this, it's not going to come. You got to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
So it keeps going back and forth. In the end, eventually all our wives have to come, okay, we are going, so we have to die. Either we have to go or they have to go.
Okay.
So.
That's so. Any experiences you want to share? Anybody?
Actually, my nephew came.
Ah.
He was here for a month. Last 2 weeks back only he went. So he came from the university. He was studying, actually. So he was like, every day you're taking me to temple. I don't like to come to temple at all, but every day you're taking me to temple. So after going there, good that I don't have any temple, nothing, I'll be happy. but he took Narsingdev, figure. And he said, I like Narsingadev, and since from my childhood I pray only to Narsingadev. Then I was trying to say, like, Narsingadev is also is Krishna, but don't tell me that, I like only Narsingadev.
Yeah, like, even till old age, they say, you know, usually spiritual life should be taken at old age, right? Like, that's how, you know, they keep postponing the thing. But even when it comes to old age, they're not willing to accept. Like, you know, I can see for example, my own father, like, you know, so much from child, he was a very busy person, like, you know, he's a professor and he retired. Still, he wanted to take another job because that's how, you know, they want, they consider themselves material designation, right? I'm a professor, so if I don't do a job, what is my worth, right? I have to be, you know, they feel, you know, worthless. Yeah, position. So he's ready to do another job and do as much hard work as earlier and everything, so much actually. I was thinking, so much work if you would have done, you know, at least little bit to Krishna, so much benefit, no, eternal benefit. But anyway, I'm grateful for whatever he has given us. So, yeah, that example, remember about Chaupati, we have mentioned, like, one boy, he joined the temple. Then the parents got agitated, and the father came next day and he started, you know, saying, you know, why you have, my boy is so young, he didn't even enjoy his life, he didn't even get married, why you have taken him? Then this spiritual life is meant for old people, why have you taken him? So then what happened?
So then Prabhupada said, why don't you come and join? So yeah. It's like, okay, let me discuss with my wife. And then he says, okay, it's okay, take my son.
But this happened really also.
Mm.
My mother's friend's child actually took to Krishna consciousness. Their parents were so upset. And they are Vaishnavas, like, you know, already, like, by birth, they are like Vaishnavas already. And I was trying to argue with her, he is going on the right path and you are trying to put blockades and you are trying to get him married and then trying to drag him away. I don't understand the point. No, that is not right. She kept saying that only. I couldn't do anything.
See, that's the whole thing, no? We have children for our sense gratification. That's the whole problem. We want to fulfill our desires through them. No, if I didn't go to, you know, MIT, or I had a desire to go to master somewhere, I want my child to go. You know, whole life I'll pester him to make him do that. So, you know, I want to enjoy sense gratification, so I want a child, so he will earn living and, you know, he will give me money later on when I retire. But rather, what should we do? What should we do with our children?
Make them devotees.
Yeah. Somehow, you know, at least do our part. We don't know what will happen to them, you know, whether they will take it or no. Give them the fullest chance for devotional service and let them make a choice.
There's this line, social work, nationalism and altruism are some of the activities for such materially designated persons. So persons who are materially oriented think about themselves.
Mm.
When it comes to social work and, you know, altruism, at least they're thinking about others. So why we call it like that it's not good, right? Why?
Because still it's in the bodily platform. So it's like, you know, there is concentrated selfishness, there is extended selfishness. That's the only difference.
Mm-hmm.
If I just think about myself, my body, like, you know, what I eat, what I sleep and everything, that's we know, blatantly we know that's selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's everybody knows. This is also selfish because, you know, it's all related to, okay, my society or, you know, my country, my nation. That's so. But when it comes to other nation, we start fighting again. So it's not so universal. If it becomes universal only when it's Krishna conscious, then, you know, he thinks everybody as a Krishna servant, then he is friend with everyone, he doesn't have any enemies. And also that's the main reason. Basically all of this is still in material platform. How can a materially absorbed person help somebody spiritually? Got the point? He himself is materially absorbed, so the most he can do to them is to help them materially. Maybe he'll give food, clothing or shelter, something. But nothing spiritually. He cannot give what he doesn't have. Anybody cannot give what they don't have. Right? Even in spiritual life, we want to preach, right? We can preach only up to our realization. We cannot, you know, if we don't believe, if we don't have full faith in Krishna, we cannot say, you know, surrender fully to Krishna, to somebody, and expect that next day he will become Draupadi. Right? Doesn't happen. So even the words may come, but the heart they will receive as much as we have the capacity or as much as we are empowered.
So, but what is wrong in providing like food and shelter to someone who is in need of it? If he doesn't have food and shelter, you cannot think about his spirituality.
That's true, that's
right?
Not.
So, I mean,
that's not wrong, but that's not complete.
Right. That's right.
That's not complete. That's why, you know, because by doing that, neither he nor the others will get out of the cycle of birth and death. Of course, with that purpose, like, for example,
right.
ISKCON also has food for life program. Somebody may say, okay, why ISKCON is giving food when, you know, it's so, it can be considered material, you know, just satisfying material needs. But they are giving prasadam, that's a different thing. And other thing is, there are some people who are needy of even that basic food. So in that way, we can serve them. Maybe, you know, they are more inclined for Krishna consciousness. So that's good. If that person can do it with that consciousness, that eventually I want to connect them to Krishna, then that's good. They will get some amount of spiritual benefit. But otherwise, it's all, like, for example, these days we have so many dancers, so many things going on for some this non-profit, that non to collect this funds for this cry or that thing or the so many things, right? So what is the ultimately what is going to happen? Who is going to get what benefit we'll get? We'll maybe get some material benefit, and also by doing such passionate activities, maybe that also we'll not get. But we'll not get spiritual benefit. So if Prabhupada is very, very, if you see, you know, it's very, very clear. He will never credit anything material, because it's shamayavai kevalam, it's useless waste of time. If for a person who is on the pursuit of spiritual journey, he doesn't even want to waste a single minute doing something in sense gratification. That's what we discussed there. A person is a knowledge of absolute truth. He doesn't want to engage in activities of fruitive activities, because he knows it's a waste of time.
But fruitive activities, like the example you said of cry or something, that's for somebody else, right? Even then,
overall it's material. It's
But if you consider just for a second, like let's say in whole world all non-profit organizations shut down, so easily million and billions of people, those were getting food, they will die quickly because they are not getting shelter. Like all shelters will shut down, everything will just shut down. They will just listen this word and they will say, "We'll not shut down. There is no more material thing." But that will kill the community in one shot, right?
Yeah, yeah. So
and I totally agree, the consciousness is missing totally part. But once we have a consciousness, we can serve in that same form.
That's
again.
True, correct.
The material.
Yes.
It's just we are changing the consciousness,
yes.
Action is still same, we are helping
others. Yes, correct. So even otherwise, what your point is also correct, we have to change the consciousness. Even otherwise also, there is a role for them. I'm not saying, or rather, you know, Prabhupada is not saying that, you know, there is useless, they're waste. That's why, you know, last line he says, right, these people can be engaged in materially benevolent work. So that means there is a role for them, because that is a gradual way they can come. Because that is from, you know, thinking about just me and my wife and children, they're at least thinking about somebody else outside their family. So that is definite. And actually in 12th chapter, Krishna says, you know, that is one way to come to me. Later when we come to 12th chapter, with the beautiful set of verses where Krishna says, you know, first just absorb in me, just think of me, just meditate me. You know, that's like, you know, pure devotional service. Then he says, you know, if you cannot do this, then at least do the practices of rules and regulation of sadhana bhakti, and eventually you think about me. So that is, this leads to that. And later he says, if you cannot even do that, at least you do some benevolent work and give some results to, give the results of your work to me. If he says you cannot do that, then at least do some activity and give the results of work to somebody else. Then, you know, you get purified, eventually you come to giving results to Krishna, then eventually you do sadhana bhakti, then eventually you completely think about Krishna. So this gives the, you know, staircase. At least from people who are completely materialistic and completely absorbed in themselves, this step above them.
Exactly.
And there is a role in the society, and that's good. But we should understand that is not the, you know, that's not our goal. That's all.
Mataji, if I have $100 and I can either spend on gas coming here and be, you know, be in with the spiritual, or give it to cry so that some hungry child is able to eat and become Krishna conscious, because Krishna conscious, a child who's fed can be more Krishna conscious than a child who's hungry. So what should I do if I come in? So
there was an example, right? I remember, I think, I don't know, Prabhupada gave or someone, I don't know, in some class, let's say if you have some money and you want to donate on the signal, it's very good to give that $5 or $2 to that guy, right, who is standing on the signal. So better not to give, because if he will, you are giving, let's say, $5 and he will drink
you'll get reaction,
he will kill someone, so all the actions are coming to you.
Yeah, but
this is,
I'm donating to cry, right?
Yeah, donating, but okay, first of all, we don't know eventually what will happen to the child, right? That's one thing. Other thing is, first of all, we are selfish in the sense we want to save ourselves. Unless we are, you know, spiritually immune or, you know, spiritually strong, we cannot help others, even our family members, right? That's, you know, we are like drowning, essentially. We are drowning in the ocean. So who can save a person who is drowning? A person who is afloat. A person who is not drowning himself. But if we are drowning and, you know, if whatever lifeboat we have, we want to give to somebody else, then, you know, we will drown, and we don't know whether that will reach the other person to, you know, for him to save himself. So but at the same time, we want to practice Krishna consciousness in the mood of helping others, not like, you know, I will become pure devotee and I will go back, I damn with this world. Right? That's extremity of selfishness.
No, that's what I was going to ask. If we are immersed in the sadhana bhakti, that's what you're saying is the most benevolent way, or not really benevolent, but the right way to devote yourself to Krishna. But you are immersed in the bhakti, but these people are dying, like he gave the example, or they're dying out of hunger or misery or famine, whatever. If there's no help to them, right, and everyone is just immersed in sadhana bhakti, who is Krishna conscious? Really, when I don't see that there's anything good coming out of that. People are suffering, but while we are just immersed in our bhakti.
So when we are immersed in our bhakti, what will happen eventually? When we become perfect in our bhakti, what will happen? What's the destination we'll reach?
We'll be connected with God.
And we'll become what? Pure devotee, right? Mm-hmm. And what does pure devotee, how does a pure devotee live his life?
He tries to connect people to.
Yeah, so he just dedicates his life in bringing others to Krishna consciousness. So he is going to now give them real thing which they want, rather than, you know, petty things of, you know, food for one day and rest of the day you die out of hunger. He is going to give them the real solution for their life.
But we don't have to wait that long, that once we get purified totally, only then we go to help.
That's why we try to give them as much as we can give. So during the process or on the path, as much as we are acquiring, you know, Krishna consciousness, we try to share.
So all along the path,
yes,
we can continue to help.
Yes,
right?
Continue to help them and help them, knowing that, you know, what help we are giving. Is it material, spiritual, or if we don't have capacity of giving them anything spiritual, then okay, give them some food, give them prasadam.
And gradually, as we become more knowledgeable and enlightened, we can teach them.
Exactly. So we will become, we will be equipped, or we will be capable. We can become instruments of the Lord at that time. So first we are trying to sharpen ourselves. So we are meant to become instruments of the Lord, you know, so to bring others, right, to Krishna consciousness. But for that we should be sharp enough. If we are a blunt knife in the hands of a doctor, operation is not going to be successful. So we need to sharpen ourselves. That the way is that sadhana bhakti, where we become pure. When we become pure, message of Krishna will pass through us. When it touches people's hearts, then they will take it up seriously.
So I think the live example will be, you keep coming to this class and keep giving $100.
Yeah. So when you keep coming, Krishna may provide in such a way that you'll have that extra $100 to give. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah. Okay, so we should read this last paragraph, which is actually the crux of our discussion.
Okay. Men who are ignorant cannot appreciate activities in Krishna consciousness, and therefore Lord Krishna advises us not to disturb them and simply waste valuable time. But the devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord, because they understand the purpose of the Lord. Consequently, they undertake all kind of risks, even to the point of approaching ignorant men to try to engage them in acts of Krishna consciousness, which are absolutely necessary for the human being.
We discussed this, right? So devotees are... We can underline this. Devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord, because they understand the purpose of the Lord. And that's why in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says, you know, those who worship my devotee is actually more dear to me than those who worship me directly. Devotee of my devotee is more dear to me than my devotee. Because Krishna considers his devotees to be most dear. Do you know this, you know, why Krishna sucks his thumb, the feet, thumb of the feet, you know that, what is that rupa? No.
Is a baby?
Baby Krishna.
He's lying down.
His name, what is his name? You know, I think.
On the leaf.
Okay, maybe I'll recollect this. Very nice name, right? Markandeya Rishi, right? Markandeya Rishi, he wants to... the time of annihilation, he prays that he wants to see the Lord. Then Lord appears in the on the banana leaf as a small baby, sucking his feet, thumb of his feet, his own feet. That's the glimpse he gets. Then he asks Krishna, you know, why you are sucking your own thumb as if, you know, you don't have any other. Then he says, my devotees, they find so much nectar in my lotus feet. So I want to taste my feet and see what is that nectar. So that's how, you know, that's how actually that's the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Krishna he knows everything, right? Nothing can, he's a knower of everything. Only thing which he doesn't know is, or that didn't experience is the happiness Radharani receives in loving him. Because he is the object of love. And Radharani is the person who loves him. So, you know, person who loves experiences different from the object. So, as the object of love, this is a little bit complicated maybe, but he couldn't experience, you know, what happiness Radharani experiences. So, he says, I want to experience that, you know, the happiness she experiences. So, I want to come as a devotee and love Krishna to experience that ecstasy. And that is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna in the form of his devotee. To experience that happiness, ecstasy of love, of loving Krishna. So we were talking about, you know, how devotee is greater than Krishna. So all these things came up. Greater than in the sense, more kind. Yeah. Yeah, we say in spiritual life, oh, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna gave me this, Krishna gave me that. But actually, Krishna is very, very far for us. So very, you know. The only, you know, somehow mercy is our, you know, spiritual masters and devotees who are somehow connecting us to Krishna. We should somehow come to this conclusion. But you know, devotees are...
It's just that the devotees of my devotees are more dear to me. But in that case, then that justifies just praying to demigods. And being a devotee of the demigod.
Question, straight question, right? Hanuman is the best devotee of the Lord, right?
So I'm just.
So are they better?
I just pray. I just say Hanuman is fine. Like I can just go and be a good Hanuman temple, and I can.
You can
more.
Pray to Hanuman to give bhakti to Ram.
Yes, but intention matters. Right?
Yeah, not. But the thing is, we are so polluted. We start going to Hanuman with that motive and eventually we forget that and we say, you know, Hanuman, you are my Lord. Yeah, like that. That Hanuman doesn't like. See, Hanuman is a pure devotee of Lord Ram. Hanuman likes connecting others to Lord Ram. He doesn't want to take a position of, you know, okay, now I'm in the midway, you know, please come to me first and then, you know, I will direct your offerings. No, it's not like that, right? So, what Hanuman wants is to connect us to Ram. But if we start going to Hanuman with a different motive, then he also doesn't like. Similarly, Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. He gets easily pleased. But he's actually greatest Vaishnava. If we go to Lord Shiva for some of the material benefits, he quickly gives and he says, okay, get out of here. I don't know. But if you go to Lord Shiva for spiritual benefits, he is most happy. It's like, okay, that's what I want to give. That's why in Vrindavan, in every temple, we have Gopeshwar Mahadev. We have Lord Shiva in front of the temple. He is the guardian of the dham, the protector of the dham, to prevent unqualified people from entering into the dham. So Lord Shiva is the guardian. So we pray to Lord Shiva, please allow me to enter Vrindavan. Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. So that the mood matters. We can pray to actually, you know, like for example, after I started coming to Krishna consciousness, suddenly next time when I went to India, as a custom, my mom, they want to visit temples. So, you know, usually we have Bhadrakali temple in Varangal and, you know, there is Ankiteshwara temple in Tirupati. So, Bhadrakali temple, they wanted to go. Then I was, you know, I didn't know much philosophy or anything, but I knew that, you know, these are demigods, that's how much I know, right? So, I was so, this thing, you know, what should I do? I don't want to go. Why am I going? But then my senior godmother, they said, okay, you go and you also pray like all of them. Pray to Durga to please kindly relieve me of this, you know, your entanglement. Let me be let me, allow me to serve Krishna. You are the one who are in charge of this material energy. You are binding me. So please relieve me and allow me to serve Krishna. You pray like that. So I prayed. So sincerely, more sincerely than how I used to pray earlier. So, yeah. So that's how we can be devotees of demigods.
Did your parents stop taking you to the temples?
No, after that I think, yeah, I think they also didn't go much.
So your prayers.
Yeah.
And even if you go, you can still pray to the Krishna. Like you can see the Krishna in their form.
Yeah, yeah.
So. That's what I do, like, you know, if I go to the temples or the demigods that I am not, like, you know, inclined towards, then I see Krishna in them.
Mm. You can see them as, you know, they are administrators. They are, you know, empowered administrators. Okay. Just a 15 minutes. Next verse is very, very deep, actually.
It's very similar to 271.
Next verse, right?
I have one question. I don't know if it's the right question. But then super soul is in us, right? Super soul is Krishna, right? And then how is he far? He's in here, right? How is he far away?
Yeah. So Krishna is very near.
Every second, right?
Yeah.
How is he far away?
Krishna is very near, at the same time, he's very far. He's very near. He's so near that we can't even see him.
We can see him, but there's something we feel inside, right?
So one thing is having a sense of Lord within us. That's okay. That's good if you have it. That's very good. But other thing is to know how far are we to becoming that such a perfect devotee. No, to exchange
very
relationship
far,
with it.
Yeah,
so
way,
yeah, that's what I meant.
As an ego thing, we are very, if we think ourselves as that false ego or whatever, then it's far. But he's there, irrespective of that, he's there.
He is there, but the thing is, we are not turning towards him. Like, you know, the two birds, right? We talked about the two birds.
They're
so close, but you know, the other bird is turning towards the fruits and eating all sweet and bitter fruits.
So we are going away.
Exactly. So we are not going closer. And even if we start going closer, we have so much ahead of us to go through.
Yeah.
Before we perfect ourselves.
Yeah. So that is clear.
So
Mataji, you mentioned that giving food and shelter is not complete. It's half complete and we should... approach to the ignorant man to explain Krishna consciousness and all everything. So how this is different than what Christians are doing in East Coast, example, in Calcutta area, something they will give the food and shelter to the old people, and they will then explain them about Jesus, and they will eventually they will ask them to convert from Hindu to Christianity and all this stuff. So I feel like both are same. We both are doing the same thing, right, in different manners.
So you're saying that I didn't understand whether you're saying you're favoring what they're doing.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not favoring
okay.
them. In fact,
you're
I
against,
don't like that part because
exactly.
they are trying to convert.
Yeah, exactly.
And they are forcefully they're asking
yes.
you to, because they are taking advantage
yes.
of your situation.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I think we are saying that same thing here.
No.
Right?
No. Here it's not. That's all. You know they have completely, you know, they are, for ulterior motive, they are doing everything possible in order to get numbers. That's what, you know, that's the
okay.
whole thing. So it's all bogus. But here, it's in a genuine way, you can, this in a way to eventually connect them to Krishna consciousness, you can engage them. That's the purpose here, mood. The mood is, they are not ready to accept Krishna right now. So, okay, let me give them a step lower. Let me at least, you know, make them do something which is indirectly... remotely connected to Krishna. That's the mood, that's all. It's all about our mood.
But in that case, we can just give the food and shelter, right? And then that's it, right?
Mm-hmm. Mostly that's what we do, right?
No, but I think at the end, what that the way...
You can give food and shelter, but not in a way that, you know, you want to force people to convert into Krishna consciousness.
Okay.
Don't do that part.
Just explain them, and if they're okay to join, that then that's fine.
That also need not...
No,
like,
we just read even... be silent as well.
Yeah.
Be silent. Yeah. Or something.
So the difference
no, it's that's why Prabhupada said it's you know, if you find a genuine Christian, let him be a Christian. We don't want people to, you know, force and take up Krishna consciousness. Genuine Christian is good. He's actually Christ is Son of God.
Mm.
No, that's good. We are not about trying to, you know, pull people into Krishna consciousness or, you know, converting all this. It's not about that. It's about genuinely sharing the real wealth with others. Whoever is inclined, they will take it. Otherwise, at whatever capacity they are, we share with them and that's all. We deal with them at that level. Yeah.
So, Mataji, the confusion I get is, so on a parallel, the same thing as you described, the example, right, that they are providing food and shelter and they are encouraging people to convert to Christianity. And Jesus is also the Son of God, and mostly like in Hinduism or Sanatanism, we consider we are tolerant and we consider respect all religions, right? So if Jesus is also Son of God, he's also God, then really, what is the difference, whether it's Krishna or Jesus?
Yeah, it's not a difference. If at all, they follow Christianity in the real sense. But that's what is missing. The real thing which Jesus taught is no longer there. Nobody is following right that way. It's not meant for, you know, going eventually to go back to Godhead, the Christianity, the way they are following. It's the whole thing is missed. So it's just namesake, you know, if I get a lot of people, then, you know, they'll give money and I don't know what this ultimate thing which they want. But
so you're saying
it's not
when you say the increase in
it's not
the Christian population across the world.
Yeah, so it's not eventually to give them spiritual benefit. That's the whole thing is gone. It's all for some ulterior motive I have or my superiors have. Somebody I'm serving that. That's all. But it's not. But our mood is not to spiritually benefit them. So if somebody is a genuine Christian following as it is the Bible, then, you know, we don't want, it's already there on the path, spiritual path, so why do we want to disturb them? But if they're open-minded, they are inquiring more, because Christianity doesn't have details about God, they want to know details about God. We are showing them Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Here is Krishna, he carries a flute, you know, these are the details about God. We get attracted, then they come and take up Krishna consciousness.
It's gradually increasing the awareness.
Yeah.
Bala Mukunda.
Ah, correct.
Just looked at it.
Yeah, Mukunda.
What is Bala Mukunda?
This is Bala
Mukunda. Oh, that, okay.
The form of the Lord.
Form of Lord, okay.
Yeah, banana leaf.
That looks like different leaf though.
People leaf. People.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I did look for banana, it threw me out.
Oh,
I just said leaf and then it came back. Yeah.
Actually, next verse is very, very, you know.
What
is
banana leaf and then it came back?
If you read this verse, let's read the Sanskrit at least. My sarvani karmani sanyasyatyatma chetasa Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. See the demands.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time he's saying fight after a long time.
He has been telling fight so much, right?
No. Last was the second chapter, like 36 verse or something.
Yeah.
And after that, he now is saying fight.
After that, he always kept saying, do your duty.
Yeah.
But that meant fighting, right? And now he's directly saying fight. So next verse is actually, yeah, that's why actually I wanted to take a whole class on this verse. The good that it happened like this. So next class we will do this, because it's very, very, you know, crucial, you know, what message Krishna is giving, and, you know, especially this. The thing about surrender. When I was reading this purport, I was reading it so many times, trying to see that, you know, I will not be able to share anything about this, you know. In the sense, I will not be able to do a justice. This is like, you know, first line Prabhupada says, this verse clearly indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see. Hopefully, I will be able to listen to some lectures and serve you better.
But 271 is very similar, like some elements of that, like without desire for profit, like commonness, So basically, some parts of it is already,
it's already said,
like only he can go attain peace, who can give up the sense of proprietorship and all that.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. So suspense is for the next week.